RadioArchives.com presents G8 and His Battle Aces magazine from October 1935. Claws of the Sky Monster, the 25th adventure of G8 and His Battle Aces, as told by G8 to Robert J. Hogan, read by Nick Santa Maria. Out of war-torn skies of World War I flies G8 and His Battle Aces, the greatest combat pilot of that hellish conflict. G8's true name was stricken from all official records so that he could fight the most evil minions of the German Kaiser without the restrictions of the laws of war. Piloting a souped-up SPAD warplane and backed by his wingmen Bull Martin and Nippy Weston, G8 blazed his name across weird battle skies history never recorded. Mad scientists, zombies, werewolves, vampires. These were the unholy allies of Imperial Germany, whom G8 engaged over the blood-soaked trenches of the war to end all wars, in frenzied dogfights straight out of hell. And now, G8 and His Battle Aces' thrilling adventure, Claws of the Sky Monster.
Chapter 1. The Death Giants. The eyes of the little fiend, Herr Dr. Kruger, gleamed with a fanatic fervor as he sat slumped over to one side in his wheelchair. His bright eyes were gleaming through his thick glasses at a stalwart, heel-clicking, bowing Prussian officer who stood before him. Herr Dr. Kruger's thin lips parted in a smile, showing his jagged, tusked teeth.
"You say, Herr Oberst, that the first trial is to be made now?" he asked.
"Jawohl, Herr Doctor," the young Oberst nodded. "The first trial awaits your pleasure."
Herr Dr. Kruger hesitated. He raised his good arm, the one on the side of his body where the paralysis was leaving him. With an almost effeminate hand, he wiped his drooling mouth.
"I do not feel so well today, Herr Oberst. Suppose you carry on the first experiment and advise me of the outcome."
The officer looked a little hurt.
"But, Herr Doctor," he objected, "it is a pity that you cannot witness the first demonstration of your great success."
Kruger shrugged his right shoulder.
"Success, Herr Oberst," he said, "is not new to me. I have known many successes. Therefore, you will go on with the experiment and advise me of the outcome."
The Oberst bowed.
"Jawohl, Herr Doctor. I shall be as you wish."
He half turned to go, and then he hesitated.
"But, Herr Doctor," he added, "perhaps it is that you worry about the result of this experiment."
He eyed the little doctor, who for once in his life seemed not quite sure of himself. The Oberst went on.
"We are sure that everything will work out as you have planned. There's nothing to worry about. Even the driver himself is not worried."
Herr Dr. Kruger nodded slowly.
"The driver," he said. "Jawohl, there is a question. You say he is not worried?"
"Ach, nein," said the Oberst. "Of course, it's partially due to the fact that he and all of us have confidence in your marvelous ability."
"Jawohl," said the doctor slowly. "I, too, have had great hopes. Perhaps my hopes have been too high. It is that fear that makes me hesitate."
"You mean, Herr Doctor," the Oberst ventured, "that you hesitate to watch for fear of disappointment?"
"Perhaps that is it," the doctor admitted. "I have spent a long time in the development of the gears. If we fail today, even in one little detail, all that work is for nothing."
"But, bitte, Herr Doctor," the Oberst argued, "I assure you that the test will be quite successful. Once it has proved successful, it will mean our supremacy in the air, and also a quick victory for the Fatherland."
The thin, cruel lips of Herr Dr. Kruger curved in a smile.
"Ach, du lieber," he said, "that would be very sweet revenge. I am thinking of one of the verdammt enemy in particular."
A grave look crossed the face of the Oberst.
"You are thinking of G8, Herr Doctor?" he asked.
The doctor's head nodded slowly.
"Jawohl," he said. "I would give anything, even life itself, to know once and for all that I was victorious over him."